win, Raptors win. Get out the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over. There you go, folks. It's all good. It's all good.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 20, Terp Playoff Edition number 3. Akshay, we've made it out to the third round of the playoffs. How's it going, buddy?
It's going good. I went to your favorite movie cinema today, or cinema, whatever. It was Imagine Cinemas. It was the first time I'd ever been there. When you walk in, you feel like you walk into the 1990s.
Exactly. And, when you sit and then down, you walk in.
Yeah,
how
it was,
does that feel? How does that feel when you sit down?
The recliners were something. I was like, it was after work, so I was a little bit tired, and like the recliners were actually making me sleepy. I had to put up the recliner to like make sure I don't fall asleep watching the movie.
This is some first world problem shit right here. Like, you're from work and you didn't want the luxury, so you're like, you know what? Screw the recliner here. All right. I think most people in the world want a recliner, and for $11 or $12, was it $11? $11 or $12.
Tuesday, it was seven.
$7 recliner seating and a movie that you can watch. Oh, all you have to do is just get through the entrance, which looks like a dingy ass hallway.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, it reminded me of like when we used to go in when we were teenagers to like Fairview Mall, and they had the movie theater up like on the third floor or whatever.
Yeah, Rainbow Cinemas.
Well, no. Before Rainbow Cinemas, it was Cineplex. It was Cineplex. Then it became Rainbow Cinemas, and then they broke down the entire cinema and made a new one.
Yeah, they realized they got to do something else.
Yeah. So I went to your favorite movie theater today, except I went to the downtown location. I don't know if you've been to that one.
Yeah, I've been to that one. Yeah, it looks even dingier because it's in the basement.
Yeah, it's in the basement. it was good times. Okay, yeah, I saw Pokemon, which is good nostalgia. Not really a great movie, but it's good for nostalgia. Okay, let's not talk about Pokemon. Let's talk about some basketball. We watched the Toronto Raptors barely defeat the Philadelphia 76ers. But that doesn't matter because a win's a win. They won in seven games. Our predictions were both wrong. I said five. What did you say? Six?
Six.
Six, yeah.
Five. What a rookie.
Yeah, most people thought it was going to not be that close, but it was because the Raptors couldn't shoot, and Jimmy Butler played pretty well. Other than that, like it wasn't, and they basically played very little of their bench. They just played their starters all the time.
Yeah, we didn't see anyone. And Boban, I think, came on, and then I think the time that Boban came on, the Raps just went just on a destruction. I'm like, who is this Boban? Get him out of here.
They tried, I think, four people at backup center. They tried Boban. They tried
Mike Scott.
They tried Mike Scott. They tried Moose. And who else did they try at backup center? I feel like they tried one more guard at backup center.
They put Ben Simmons on there for a while as well.
Yeah, they should just play Ben Simmons as backup center. He's anyways shoots like he. They put him in the dunker spot. He just stands in the dunker spot anyways. Just let him play backup center against. He could play against Serge.
Yeah, because he's garbage.
Yo, Serge was the second best player in game seven.
Mafuzi Chef stepped up big time. Big time, man. Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah, that pull-up three he did?
That wasn't even I don't even know. I was like, this is going to be the worst shot in the world. And when he made that shot, you just like, you have faith in all of his stuff. I'm like, you know what? Good, man. Keep cooking. Keep cooking.
Now we can't lose. If Serge is making pull-up threes, can't lose.
Serge is making pull-up threes. Brook Lopez, you got something coming for you, buddy. We got our own Brook Lopez and Mafuzi Chef Serge.
Mafuzi Chef. All right, so let's just go quickly over this seven-game series, which consisted of three close games and four blowouts. So I don't know how much analysis we can do.
Zero.
Yeah. But what did you like and dislike from this series?
I'd like to thank the Lord of Masai.
Oh, yes.
Who has allowed us? Who has brought us? Oh, Kawhi Leonard, the king, and the king of the six. God bless Kawhi.
You've already given him the title after one shot. DeMar is here for what? 8 years? 9 years? Or something? This guy's here 9 months. Let's give him the king title.
Who is DeMar DeRozan?
That's
It's all about Kawhi Leonard, right? DeMar DeRozan, that would be airball. Kawhi Leonard, front rim, and then get us another shot.
I was thinking, if we went to the gym and we put up 1,000 shots, I don't think I could replicate that.
No one can replicate that.
Forget the 4 bounces. Even 1 bounce, 2 bounces and going in, I don't know. If like the way it went straight up, that's hard to replicate.
Okay, I'll tell you something. The crazy thing about this Kawhi is that he knew what he was doing. All his shots were flat before, right? Flat in the sense. So this one, he knew he had to get it higher, higher arc, over at Embiid, and hopefully hit, give him a little bit of a chance with the rim. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
Who thinks like that?
Well, he was, it definitely is not a normal Kawhi shot. He had to get it much higher than he normally does because Embiid was guarding him. Like, they basically doubled him as usual. Simmons quickly switched with Embiid, and Embiid challenged it pretty well as you can, really.
You can't do anything better. That's like the best, right? So what did you like?
I like the defense. I thought the defense outside of maybe one game was really bad. Maybe 2 games you could criticize them. There was one game where they got blown out. I forgot what game that was.
Oh, that's the game 3 or game 4? Can't be game 5.
I don't know. I don't remember. But anyways, one of the games they got blown out where I was just really frustrated.
Game 3.
Yeah. That game was the one that they had really poor defense. Other than that, they had played great defense. Marcus All on Embiid. Outside of game 3. You know what? Even game 3, like, Embiid scored 30-something points, but he just hit threes, which is what you're giving him. And so he got hot, and he was doing his stupid airplanes and whatnot. But other than that, Marc Gasol absolutely dominated Joel Embiid in the post in terms of defense. Obviously, he didn't match him offensively, but that's okay. Like, he did his job. And then in game 7... Jimmy Butler was killing us all series outside of game 1. And then game 7, they decided finally to just put Kawhi on Jimmy Butler for the whole game. And Butler was gone, like locked down. He couldn't do anything. So when they needed to, the defense was awesome, which I'm really encouraged by because it's been awesome. Now they've played, 5 and 7? So they've played 12 games. I'd say 10 of those games, the defense has looked great. And the offense... The offense has not looked so good in most of those games. And so my dislike, I know we could probably pick on the offense, but really it's the bench. I lost so much faith in the bench in this series. And I have more faith that they're going to come around in the Milwaukee series just because of the personnel that they're facing. Because
the Milwaukee bench is so, so much better than our bench. It scares the shit out of you. We'll go to that level. But yeah, you're absolutely right, man. The bench was a little disappointing, right? I mean, it's just like when you can't even hold, we don't even ask the bench to like increase the lead, just hold the lead, you know, like, or hold your position, just bucket for bucket, play hard D. And they were getting torched left, right, and center. And I think the offense looked lost half the time.
Yeah, and I think it's primarily because the Sixers just played their starters. And then when you have like people like Butler guarding Van Vliet or Norm, it's just like such a big size differential that it just becomes impossible for them to do anything. So I have more hope in the Milwaukee series, but please, they need to do something. If they don't, like, they can't win a series like they just did.
Yeah, we can't do it. Milwaukee. I think our shooting's got to improve. What my dislike, the shooting. You cannot shoot that poorly. You cannot shoot that poorly when you're getting open looks. Open looks. Yeah. Shooting 33% from 3, that's not acceptable right now. Especially when you're getting most of your shots on open looks, you got to be making at least more than that, man. Granted, some of them are going to like Marc Gasol and Serge.
Yeah.
Serge, for the most of the series, was like, please don't shoot the ball. Please don't even shoot the ball at all. Like, I'm scared of you. And then game 7 comes around, and I don't know what he's had. He's had some like donkey balls or some stuff like that for like breakfast, and he started like shooting lights out. So
yeah, I know it feels like that. He scored only 17 points, which is not like crazy, but it felt like that way that game was going, it felt like 30.
Yeah, because no one else could miss a 3, and then no one was making 3s, and then you're like, oh God, Serge, no, we don't need it. We don't need this. And then bam, you made it.
It was a lot of no, yes. Shots, yes, you know,
a lot of those
with Serge, but he made them. Thank you for all 17 points. We needed them, and we needed all of Kawhi's 41 or whatever he got. Okay, anything else on this series before we move on?
No, to let's do it.
The next one, Milwaukee.
Excited, the Bucks.
Okay, so we get to survive another week or two at least. So Toronto's going to face Milwaukee starting in Milwaukee on Wednesday night.
One thing. What were your thoughts on Embiid crying?
You know what? I don't mind him crying. I just don't like you doing airplanes and then crying. Like, just
because now we can't make fun of him because now he's crying. Yeah. So now he's like, oh, he's emotional. He tries hard, but all right, you know what? Let's attack him the way, because he just made airplanes and did trash talked a lot. So now he's crying. So it's okay. He's a big baby now. It's okay.
Literally, Danny Green released his pod today with Jack Armstrong, and he said that the Raptors didn't like all of Embiid's antics through the whole series, but he's like, then he cried yesterday. And like, you kind of see that he cares, and of course he cares. Like, if he's gonna care, still doesn't like his antics were still annoying. He had one good game. He was sick for two of them, and the other ones, Marc Gasol just shut him down. And he's like acting like he's the MVP of the league. He's got to grow up a little bit, and so he will. He's like 22, 23 or whatever. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't mind him crying. I just wish he wasn't so theatrical when he shouldn't have been with like airplanes and shit like that.
Well, that hit us
okay, Milwaukee. Way.
Milwaukee, let's do it.
Milwaukee. Forget Philly. You go golf, Philly. Okay. All right. So Milwaukee and Toronto starts on Wednesday night in Milwaukee. Milwaukee was the first seed. Toronto was the second seed. So it's pretty good in terms of the top two seeds making the Eastern Conference semifinals. Let's just go position by position. Let's see your thoughts on who you think has the advantage position by position. So you have at center Gasol versus Tal's favorite player in the world, Brook Lopez.
Oh, that step back three. Step back three, Brook Lopez. You know what? This is a different one. I think if Brook Lopez brings him out to the into the three-point line, this is Brook Lopez. But if they're inside, I think Gasol's got him covered.
Who do you think? You think this is kind of like a wash?
No, this is going to be a 3-point bloodbath, I think. So I think Gasol's going to be limited. I think you're going to see Serge a lot on this one.
So you think Lopez has the advantage on this position?
Unfortunately, yeah. I think he's just he's going to bring Gasol out. That's the thing. He's going to bring Gasol out, and you're going to lose a bit of rebounding and some interior D with Giannis driving in. That's what you
can see. I can see Lopez winning this matchup if he's hitting his threes, but if he's not, I can see Gasol winning this. So I don't know. This one's really hard for me to call. I can see it going as a wash.
I'd be very interested to see the defensive coverages on this one. So it'd be very interesting if Lopez, because I would think Milwaukee would like to bring Gasol out to the 3-point line a lot more. So clear up the lane for Giannis or anyone driving in, get the big guys out. And Lopez is such a good 3-point shooter, he'll command that. So it'll be interesting to see.
We'll see. Okay, so power forward Siakam and Meritage.
Siakam.
You think Siakam? Yeah, I think Siakam.
But I don't think this is going to be like the matchup, like one on one. Oh, mm-hmm. Cuckoo!
The birds are back.
The birds are back. I think this is going to be Siakam though. Siakam's going to be a better player in this one.
Siakam. Okay, so you have small forward. I don't know if it's really small forward, but we don't know where to put them. So Leonard and Giannis. I feel like this one's kind of a wash.
Oh man, Giannis is one of the most ridiculous players I've ever seen play in the last probably 2 years.
You're going to give Giannis the edge on Kawhi Leonard?
You know what? My brain says Giannis, my heart says Leonard. So I'm going with my heart, Leonard.
I think I'm going to call this one a wash. This one's too hard to call. Like, this one is like whoever plays better, but they're both like very talented and both are two-way players.
Both are two-way players. Both have two different offensive games. So they're not going to guard each other. They're going to be very different in that sense.
Yeah. Nobody guards anybody, anyways. Nowadays, it's all switches, right? So, this one I kind of give a wash. Shooting guard Green and Middleton. I think this one's pretty easy.
I think Middleton.
Middleton. Middleton's going to be significantly better than Green.
Yeah.
Green just needs to do something, but I understand why he didn't do anything last series. Like the Philly rotations were really good to the players that mattered.
No, 100%. And they're tall. Yeah. They're all tall guys, right? So if you're looking at Ben Simmons is like on the point of guarding like Green to like Leonard to like Lowry, they're switching between all that. Like Green's going to have a hard time when you have like an outstretched Ben Simmons trying to block your shot, right? So it's going to be interesting. I expect Green to get a lot more shots in in this series, so it'll be good.
Lowry and Bledsoe in the point guard.
Yo, I go hard with Lowry, man. Lowry,
really?
Man.
You think Lowry is better than Bledsoe?
I think Lowry is, man. I think Lowry is. I've seen Bledsoe play a little bit here and there, but based on what I see, how Lowry commands the entire offense and is so intellectually aware of everything, gives me that edge on Lowry. That's what he is. I think
I'm going to give the edge to Bledsoe. Bledsoe played a great last series now, although Kyrie Irving was guarding him, which is nothing special, or whoever they had guarding him. They didn't have Marcus Smart guarding him. So Bledsoe played so well, and he's scoring, whereas Lowry's not.
So I
give the edge to Bledsoe a little bit. But this one, like, I can see, like, at the end of a series, like, it's funny,
Lowry set screens for, like, big time, like, he set screens for, like, Embiid running into him. That's, like, terrifying, man.
Like, Chargers, yeah, Chargers.
No, Chargers, and he set screens, right? He set screens for Leonard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, Embiid's trying to switch, and Embiid just runs into him. You're still taking, like, a 220-pound guy, 250-plus-pound guy trying to just run into you. That's not easy, man.
There's definitely things Lowry does significantly better than Bledsoe. I'm just thinking, like, overall impact. I can see Bledsoe being better, but I can also see Lowry being better. This one's a kind of a tough one to call to. What Lowry started with was this wasn't the 0 point game for Lowry, right? That was in Orlando. But yeah, Lowry ended up outscoring Ben Simmons over the series.
No, but it's Ben Simmons.
By 11 points. I know, but still, like, all this hype you give to Ben Simmons, and then Lowry ended up scoring, I think, 11 more points across the series.
Yeah. It's because Ben Simmons had that one good game.
Yeah, one good game, and then every other game he just got shut down.
Yeah, absolutely. Game six,
like game seven, he went 4 for 5. Like, if you're an all-star, you're not going to take 5 shots. Yeah. The bench. I'll just do the top three guys: VanVleet, Powell, Ibaka versus Hale, Connaughton, and probably Brogdon.
It's ridiculous, man. I'm looking at all this thing here. I think this is Milwaukee easily. Like, I look at their bench and I write WTF because I'm like, how do you have so many good players? Connaughton is very good. George Hill coming off the bench. Ilya is insane. And then Brogdon's off the bench. I think he may start, but I'm not too sure about that.
No, he's not. They said he's not. They're going to keep with Mirotić because he just came back and he barely played in that game even. It wasn't like a... Boston just rolled over and died, so it wasn't a very intense game. Yeah. The last game, so.
The Milwaukee's bench is very good, but I'd be interesting to see how our bench actually steps up to the occasion. I think we may have some of our starters with them a lot. So
we think the clear advantages for Milwaukee is probably a shooting guard and in the bench, and then for the Raptors, probably just power forward, where there's, like, clear advantages.
Oh yeah, that's the only one. I don't see any, like, as much as it is, like, even if I'm looking at numbers wise, I look at the numbers, like, it's not pretty. Like, the Milwaukee Bucks are freaking incredible. Yeah. Like, they've played everything really, really well. So they're top team in the league. So this is literally, you're, as Raptor fans, if you're looking on the analytical side, you're searching for answers.
Yeah. But you know what's weird then? We look at all this stuff and then the playoffs don't end up really, like,
playoffs are completely,
you know, matching
story.
It all.
Oh,
so,
it's a completely different story. Yeah, you're right.
You never know what's going to happen. So we'll see. We'll see. But right now we look at player by player and we give the edge to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But it's a team game, so we'll see. Okay, so some predictions. What are some of the things you want to look out for this series?
All right, so on the Raptors side, I think there's a few things. One is, like, turnover defense, right? Toronto has been number one in opponent turnovers at 17% per possession in these playoffs. Now, that's really high because Philadelphia is also a very poor team in terms of turnovers. But Toronto's defense has been very, very, very good and very in your face, where we're forcing turnovers, we're forcing shot clock violations, we're forcing steals, Aaron passes, all that stuff. So we've got to be really good at this and force turnovers to get in that transition offense and get those buckets. Milwaukee's got a pretty good defense, transition defense. So we've got to be able to beat that real quick. That's one. Number two, offensive boards. The Bucks don't crash the boards as Philly does. Like, Philly dominated us in the boards the first five games?
They won 5 out of the 7 games in all the boards.
They were insane on the offensive glass. They got a lot of pockets. Freaking Greg Monroe. That's the guy. Greg Monroe is the other center. Mm-hmm. Remember we were talking about who's the other center that they tried? Greg Monroe.
No, they had Monroe, Scott, Boban, and did they try anybody else? Who else came off the bench for them?
No, was that it? Oh, Amir Johnson.
That's it. Oh, Amir Johnson was the fourth one. Yeah. You're right.
Amir Johnson, yeah. Bucks don't crash the boards as Philly does. So we need to take care of these boards and get these easy buckets, right? So the Bucks are the best team in the league at limiting fast break points for opposing teams in the regular season. We got to be better at this. We got to take care of the rebounds at all costs. And last, this is the most important one. Please make the shots. Please make the shots.
It's a make or miss league.
The Bucks give you that three-pointer, right? They're going to give you that three-pointer, right? They just won't let you drive inside the paint and get those easy buckets. That's going to be an issue for, like, it's going to be really interesting how Siakam does in this. We need to hit the trigger and take it. Lowry shot 29% against the Bucks all season. This can't happen. We need a Lowry at, like, a 38-40, 40 minimum. Yeah.
The original Lowry 0 point game was against the Bucks during the regular season.
I remember that. Yes.
The original one.
And Gasol's got to shoot with confidence.
Yeah, they all need to shoot with confidence. I was really like annoyed with them just turning down shots and you constantly hear it over and over again. They just gotta let it fly and like we can live with it, you know? Like it's annoying to watch people turn it down. If you let it fly and it misses, whatever. But just let it fly, you know?
I think we really have to watch out for, like, Middleton and Giannis. Giannis loves the pick-and-roll stuff. So, like, we've got – like, I know we can switch probably – I'd say, like, 2 to 5, right? I mean, right? 2 to 5. 2 to 4. I mean,
Two to four
is pretty flexible to switch. So, like, watching the Middleton-Giannis pick-and-roll is going to be a big one because either they pick-and-roll or they pop to, like, Middleton who takes a three-point. Like, it's going to be pretty interesting, that's it.
Both teams are going to switch 2 to 4.
Absolutely. So, quick thing. I wanted to go over this one thing real quick. I spoke to my cousin who's a big Milwaukee Bucks fan, right? So, got his insights here. And what, as a Bucks fan, what are the keys for Milwaukee? Right? This is pretty interesting. Number one, attack the rim. Not just Giannis. They're really good with Bledsoe and Hill. And if he plays enough, they got to attack with Brogdon and everyone. So if we're looking to attack the rim as a Raptor fan, this is where I think we need Serge to be Bismack Biyombo style, right? Mm-hmm. Like we need that defense from him. We don't need him to like shoot three-pointers. We need him to stay at the rim and get in people's face and make it very difficult, right? Serge has the ability to do that. He can be a really good like rim protector. We need him to be that. Keep Bledsoe involved defensively. So like, this is interesting, right? Like they have concerns on Bledsoe on defense. And that's the most interesting part because if Lowry, then we always talk about aggressive Lowry. We need that aggressive Lowry to come up and show up because if you can get any player on Milwaukee Bucks to like check out defensively, if Bledsoe is prone to being checked out and not as good defensively as compared to everyone else, Lowry can make you pay, right? But Lowry has to play aggressive. If he plays like passive Lowry, then it's going to be very easy.
Yeah. None of this, like, I'm looking for the great shot.
No.
Would you give up the good shot for the great shot? No. Take your damn good shot.
Take your damn, go in. Go for it. And lastly, they want to contest the mid-range, right? So they're going to give Kawhi that shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the Sixers did a pretty decent job on quieting the shot. And the Raptors did a lot of Spanish pick and rolls for that one. A lot of pick and rolls trying to get Kawhi, like, an open shot. Also, Kawhi is, like, 6'11". So he towers over everyone. He's a freaking huge guy. And takes a shot pretty high up in the air. So this is going to be interesting. Like, we're going to take the mid-range. Kawhi is going to live and die by the mid-range. So,
yeah, their defense is a lot more predictable than the Philly defense was. The Philly defense was just like, you know, like just double Kawhi and scramble. But they're so athletic and tall and quick that the scrambling kept working. I don't know if that's going to work so well with Milwaukee. They're going to give you – like, Milwaukee's played the same way all year and – they've literally had two series where they continue to play the same way and it's worked fine for them. They're going to give you the threes. They're not going to give you anything in the paint. And they're going to give you certain threes, not all of them. They're not going to give you corner threes for Danny Green. They're going to give you top of the key threes for Gasol.
You know right? what? It's also like crazy because Milwaukee's probably seen how the Sixers have played Siakam. And this is where I think Siakam's going to get a lot of flack for that. Like the regular three. He struggles with that, right?
Yeah. The top of the key, right?
Yeah, he struggles with that. I think he's like a 24% shooter. So they're going to give him that. They're going to sag off him at that time. And I think that worked really well because you know, you sag off him, then either Siakam's passing or he's going into the paint just like, you know, trying to do his like Euro step shit. And that's going to be interesting to see. So it'll be good. Hopefully, let's see. Let's see how it happens. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. My main thing is Toronto's like the number one transition scoring team, and the Milwaukee Bucks are the number one defensive transition team. Toronto's obviously the best when they can play in transition. Like, that's where they get a majority of, like, that's where a majority of Danny Green's open looks come from. A lot of their, you know, a lot of Pascal's herky jerky spin stuff comes in transition. And so they obviously need to play a lot more in transition than they did in Philly. Philly literally stopped the transition. I don't know if it's going to be stopped in this series because Milwaukee also likes to play in transition. So I feel like it'll have a little bit more flow than the other that last series did. So I'm interested to just see how this transition game works out, where you see two really good transition teams, both offensively and defensively, see how that kind of plays out. Because if it's taken away, it's going to affect both teams because both teams like to run. But that's going to be my main thing to see over the course of the series, to see how that kind of works out. Okay, one last thing.
What's up?
What is your prediction?
Okay, prediction. I think, you know what? This is a tough one, man, because I think it's Bucks and six, and it's
like Bucks and six. Like what's his face said? Brandon Jennings said. Remember years ago?
Is that what he said?
That was like, yeah, he said Bucks and six against when they faced, like, they were facing Miami, and they were the eighth seed. And Miami was the one seed.
They crushed him.
They got swept. And Brandon Jennings came out and said, like, Bucks in six or something. Like, obviously, what is he supposed to say? But it ended up being a meme because, like, that team was not good at all.
Brandon Jennings. Bucks in six. But you know what? I love it, man. Raptors amazing. But, like, I think this Milwaukee Bucks scares it. I've said this many times. This team scares the shit out of me. This team is, like, if we can beat this is big. Again, you also say they haven't faced like tough playoffs. They haven't had the tougher road. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. What are your thoughts?
I think have had the hardest road in the playoffs so far, to be honest with you. I think Orlando was coming in hot and they play very gritty. And I think Philly plays super gritty too. And so I think out of all the four teams remaining, you can make the argument that the hardest road so far has been the Raps. But that, like, and the easiest might have been for Milwaukee, but
well, you come to number one, that's what you get. You should get that, right? That's what it is.
I mean, am I thinking with my heart or am I thinking with my head, right? So if I'm thinking with my head, then maybe I agree with you, but if I'm thinking with my heart,
I'm saying Raps in four, crush them, baby, destroy them, get them out of there.
Okay, your heart's just being unreasonable at this point.
My heart is always unreasonable. Raps in four, all right? We're going to go into Milwaukee, destroy that team. Giannis is going to get mad. 2024 is going to come out. Giannis is going to be like, hey, I want to move to Toronto because I want to play for Toronto Raptors. So I'm like, perfect. We're going to make the whole Greek town and Giannis combination here in the most diverse city in the world.
We'll get him a place in the Danforth.
That's where it is, right? So Giannis is coming to Toronto, guys. Bucks fans, I'm sorry. He is coming here.
Did you make a bet with your cousin?
No, I'm not making that bet at all, man.
You're supposed to make a bet, and then if you lose, you have to wear like Milwaukee Bucks shorts, and if he loses, Raptor shorts.
I actually have no problem wearing Milwaukee Bucks because I want someone else to win the NBA title other than the Golden State Warriors. So I'm okay with Raptors or Bucks, right? Obviously, when the series goes down and Brook Lopez start hitting those 3-pointers, I'll be very angry at Milwaukee, so I won't be too thrilled, but this is a different story.
Yep. So we'll see. So you say Bucks in six. Yeah. I will say Raptors in seven.
Amazing.
Just for fun.
Oh, last thing. Let's all have a moment of laughter for the New York Knicks.
The fourth pick? What did they get? They got the
fourth pick. No Zion for them.
No, they got the third pick. Lakers got fourth.
Lakers moved up. Yeah. So it's the best one. New York doesn't get Zion. This is my favorite thing. All that tank
jobs. This is Zion. Like, I wonder what's going to happen with Anthony Davis now. Is he going to stay?
This is why the NBA is so exciting. Unlimited drama, more drama.
I know. Who knows? Who knows? And literally, okay, we got to get out of here. But funniest thing in the lottery, so the lottery is like, the production value is so terrible, but it's like Woj and Rachel Nichols doing their doing commentary between the picks, and the commentary is pumped into the stadium. And at one point, Woj says, I think when they saw that the Lakers moved up, he's like, oh, the Lakers now have more trade assets to get Anthony Davis. The representative for the Lakers was Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, I saw that. And then Kuzma was there. He's like, oh.
His face was like, I was like, man, it must be so shitty. Like, we talk about this as like their fantasy trades, but this is this guy's livelihood, his job, his house, his family. And we're like, oh, we're going to trade you and this hypothetical fourth pick to get Anthony Davis.
Yeah. You never know. You never know. NBA, drama always lives.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So we'll see everybody at the end of this series to either preview a finals,
NBA cross our finals. Fingers,
or to cry and do a recap of the season. We haven't done our Kawhi percentage in a long time. Give me one Kawhi percentage, your percentage. Just give me a number.
65%.
Do you think he's going to stay?
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's like high 50s right now. I'll say like 57.
Amazing. You know what? That shot, and also apparently he went into HSB, the Hudson's Bay the other day, and the cashier asked him if he wanted a loyalty card. He said yes.
Loyalty I don't card. Believe this.
Loyalty card?
This is going around Twitter.
He is staying in Toronto. He bought a loyalty card, guys. This is it. He's staying in Toronto.
There you go. Also, he's buying his own stuff from the Bay. That's amazing. I just thought New Balance ships him clothes all day long.
No, New Balance has only one damn sneaker. That's about it.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll see everybody in a week and a half or 2 weeks when this series is over. Thanks for listening, guys.
Appreciate it.